Camping is a distinctly human thing to do. It feeds a primal desire to connect with the ground beneath us, the skies above, and to create our own space in a place where we didn't exist before. It allows disconnection from routine. Camping is also important to instill in our children. Studies show that youth engaged in camping when they were younger had a higher likelihood to camp when they become older. Increasingly, however, we're found indoors. Children are playing with glowing electronics inside, while adults, many running on empty by the end of their day, turn to digital spaces to tune out. The average American spends at least 8.5 hours a day in front of a screen. This is leading to a nature deficit disorder in our youngest citizens. However, I think families are returning to their roots, having a distinct desire to connect with the outdoors and engage with their children in meaningful ways. I believe as our society continues to evolve, we will see more and more people investing in outdoor experiences, as it's a distinctly human thing to do. My favorite advice for a stressful day? Take a hike and call me in the morning.
That piece was written by Anna Page, the company-owned properties marketing coordinator for KOA, and we love its delicious irony. Spending more time in front of screens may just increase our desire to disconnect and head outside into nature. What else does the future hold for camping and RVing? Stay tuned for episode 16 of RV Family Travel Atlas to find out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's special episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, where we look into the future of RVing. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are looking into the future of RVing. There have been some interesting trends developing over the last year or two, and we are going to talk about the ones that we think are here to stay.
We are also looking into our own future. Where will we be heading in 2015? The catalogs are out and the trips are being planned. What else is the winter for?
And we have a winner to announce, who will receive a 12-piece dish set from Camp Casual. Listen to find out.
All of this and so much more on episode 16 of RV Family Travel Atlas, The Future of RVing. Before we head into tonight's featured topic, the future of RVing, we wanted to take a second and really thank all of you who've been writing reviews for us on iTunes. We've had a bunch of really nice reviews just this past week, and we ended up on the What's Hot list on iTunes for two different topics, right, Stephanie?
Yeah, in Places and Travel.
Places and Travel.
And Kids and Family.
Kids and Family.
And that's what, like, the inside scoop on iTunes is that the reviews
move you up
everything.
Those lists.
Yes.
Yeah. So we just cracked on to those lists and there was a nice spike in listenership this week. So thank you so much for leaving reviews. And if you haven't left a review, please take a minute and do so if you've been enjoying the podcast. So why don't we read a couple of these reviews?
Well, we got one from a mom in New Jersey. It was called So Glad I Found This Podcast was the title of it. And it said, there are very few RV podcasts. I was so happy to find this one because of all the suggestions and advice. I too camp with kids and the campground suggestions are wonderful. Thank you for the info. And that's nice to know we have the kind of local listeners.
It's also nice to hear the things that you guys like out there in listener land. Like, we hadn't done a campground review every week, and then we heard this, and, you know, we wanted to do another campground review last time. The next one we wanted to read is titled NPR Quality Production That Makes Us Want to RV. Now, the check's in the mail for whoever wrote this
okay.
one.
Okay, let's just pause here for a minute.
Yeah, I was really flattered by this one.
Okay. Well, and it's, you know, the guy probably, like, you know, was like, okay, NPR quality. Okay. But you have to understand something, good sir. Like, I have been listening to my NPR podcasts,
oh my gosh,
right?
Since
my
you were,
shows.
Yeah.
Since I was a teenager, I became addicted. I was young and I loved, like.
You were like This American Life, and I was like, This American what?
Yes, I was addicted. I used to go to school far, far away, and I would make these long
Hillsdale,
road
Michigan.
Trips.
Hillsdale,
and
Michigan.
I would listen.
Honey, there were not podcasts then. You
no,
were listening
they weren't.
On
they
the
were
radio.
On the radio, right. On whatever local NPR station, and you would have to find
as
the local
drove,
NPR
right,
station
right.
As you drove. You'd have to flip through and find it. And I, so
is
I
that
had,
why that cop pulled you over that one time in Ohio?
Let's not talk about that. I didn't get a ticket.
When you cried?
And I didn't get a ticket. So I honestly have decades of my life invested in thinking that in another
she
life
does.
I could have been on NPR. So when this review popped up,
made your day.
I was like, oh my gosh. So even though I'm never going to be on NPR,
you never,
I have
you
a
never
review.
Know. NPR should have like an RVing segment that we do.
There's a review that says I'm NPR
Look,
quality.
All you NPR executives out there who are listening, and we know you're out there.
Just interview okay? me or something.
We'll do a show. But anyway, the comment goes on to say, we love, love, love this program. I didn't just stutter. The person said love, love, love.
Yeah.
Your voices and personality are lovely. We're hooked on your podcast. Never stop. And we hope that someday soon you'll become full-timers so we can hear your perspective on what we want to do. P.S. We love gifts. Happy New Year.
Okay, so we will not become full-timers.
It's intriguing. I mean, it's certainly yeah. intriguing.
We'll
it's
talk
tempting.
More about that later on in today's episode, the full-timing movement.
Yes, in the future of RVing,
yeah.
we will be talking about the full-time movement.
But thank you, Ryan, Lisa, and the boys. That was a really sweet
Super
review.
Sweet. And I'm sorry, you didn't win this week's giveaway.
No,
though.
I know, right? And
please,
that shows that it's not rigged because
yeah, the show is there's nothing rigged about no. this show.
Okay. So then another review that we got was called Helpful to the New RV Owner, which is really a great title for us again, because so much of what we do is about people we know and that we have had contact with in our emails that are looking to get into this lifestyle.
I think it's a goal of ours to mm-hmm. be informative and useful to the first-time buyer, the new RV owner.
Yeah.
And I think also a lot of the veterans out there listening to us just enjoy revisiting those early yeah. days of their RV lives.
It's close to our hearts because we did not grow
yeah.
up doing this. So we get it, and that's something that's really special to us whenever we answer questions for people about getting into this
right.
lifestyle. It really I think it's like the most fun part of what we do. We really enjoy it. So that's
Absolutely.
A nice title to a review. And the review was, this couple is fun to listen to while I drive. It's great to hear about what you look for in my new RV experiences, pros and cons. You guys clearly give great attention to detail and research thoroughly your subject matter, for the weekly podcast, and I greatly appreciate it. I feel I will be prepared for the time when I'm able to travel to the Northeast in my travel trailer with my dogs and husband. Thanks for the work, so I don't have to do it.
Our pleasure. So thank you to everyone who's dropped a review for us. And please consider, if you've been enjoying the podcast, please consider writing us a review on iTunes. We will super yeah. appreciate it.
Yeah.
So now it's time to announce our winner. And
yeah,
this
the
was
important
really,
stuff.
Like, we've given away a lot of cool stuff in the first 15 mm-hmm. episodes. And we've given away some pretty big prizes.
Yeah.
But this was the most popular giveaway we've done yet. The Camp Casual 12-piece dish set. Like, everyone went crazy
okay.
trying
it
to win this.
It hit a nerve.
This week.
And what did I say?
Because of the retro RVings,
yeah.
the retro style of the dishes.
Yeah.
But we had over 200 people enter to win on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Instagram. A lot of people were trying to tag a lot of people,
yeah.
getting in on the action. And that was great. And I think that this company, we said it last week.
Yeah, Camp
we'll say
Casual.
It again.
You can find them at campcasual.com. Mm-hmm. They're a really cool new company out
this
of California.
This is their first product. And I hope, fingers crossed. They're going to have a lot more products.
I think this company is mm-hmm. going to be huge. I mean, they hit a home run on their first product to market, and mm-hmm. they have lots of great ideas for future products, and we hope to review some of them again.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Camp Casual.
Yeah.
And the winner, Stephanie,
well,
who was the winner?
The winner is Karen.
Karen N.
N. Okay. And
from Pennsylvania.
I'm going to admit something, Karen.
We met Karen.
We did. And I was, look. I'm happy every time we give out a prize to whoever gets it. Like I said, I never win anything. I'm
yeah,
always happy for
people. Yeah, this is the first
people.
Time we actually have met the person who won.
Yeah,
I think
so. I mean, we have to think about it, but I think so. And I was really, really happy when her name was randomly picked.
She entered, but she retweeted on Twitter
and on Facebook. Right?
So she entered a few times. Multiple entries were allowed.
But here's the thing about Karen is, first of all, she was our first, like, celebrity sighting that we experienced.
Yeah, we were at the Atlantic City RV show this past fall, and somebody walked up to us and said, Are you the lively little campers? And we were like, yes. She's like, I recognized your voices.
Right. And so she was our first podcast fan that we met, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. It was a little weird, yeah.
It was weird, it was funny, and it was sweet. So, and she introduced herself to us, which was really nice.
A super nice family.
And they also gave us some material for that show we were doing on RV shows, because her and her family were there looking at a model.
A Keystone Hideout, I think,
right.
Fifth wheel.
One of the ones we had sort of been looking at as being very family friendly and
yes.
everything.
Yes. I wonder if they bought it, actually. I mean, Karen, reach out to us, let us know.
And then there's another connection, because she lives right around the corner
from the Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
And
she knows the owners.
Right.
Gary
and
Lori.
So when we post it, one of our reviews of this campsite, she actually had commented on Facebook saying, like, oh, it's so nice to read a review of a campground right nearby.
Right.
And I was like, oh, look at that. How funny that is. We have a reader who lives right around the corner from there and everything.
Right.
She did not win the weekend
the 10
getaway.
Oh, yeah. We gave away a weekend
to
the Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
And she didn't win that. So I kind of feel like this is good karma, you know?
Good mojo
for Karen.
So Karen, we'll reach out to you and get a mailing address, and we'll have Camp Casual send you your new 12-piece dish set. And I should say, we used these dishes all week.
We did. We used them a lot.
Breakfast, lunch. I put them in the top rack, and we washed them, and they were just fine. So it's a nice, sturdy set of dishes. Awesome retro styling. And thank you so much to Camp Casual for playing along here.
Yes, very fun. We'll look forward to any future products that you want to send our way.
Yes, send them our way. We'll review them, and we'll do more giveaways if you'd like. So join us in a second as we head into our feature topic, the future of RVing. So for tonight's featured topic, the future of RVing, I decided to go onto RV.net and kind of ask that really knowledgeable readership there for kind of their advice on what the future of RVing might look like, and to kind of maybe pull some ideas from them and combine them with our own ideas. And there was like 80 comments or 90 comments on the future of RVing on this little post I put up.
We had talked things through. And
we had developed the show a little bit, but I was looking for some things that we didn't think of.
Yeah, like, let's see what everybody else has to say out there.
And there were some golden nuggets there. But one of the things everyone started talking about was, like, somebody would post, well, RVs are getting lighter, and there's all these cheaper, lightweight units out there now. And a bunch of people said that. But then another group of people said, wait, but RVs are getting heavier. They're getting more luxurious. They're getting more residential, to use a term from the industry. And I kind of was thinking about that, and I realized they were both right.
Mm-hmm.
RVs are getting lighter and they are getting heavier. So you have this lightweight movement, but then you also have this really nice residential movement.
And they're getting smaller.
And they're getting bigger. Yeah, so you have these, you know, these really small, 12-foot, 15-foot, 16-foot travel trailers coming out. And you also have these 40-foot fifth wheels coming out, and these 40-foot motorhomes. So it's like there's just going to be more
of everything
in the future.
Yeah, and I think that just shows the broader base of RVing.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's the trend. That's the future. Something for everyone. It's not just retirees. We're definitely past that. The industry knows that.
Right.
And then it's not just families.
No.
It's all kinds of people
And
out
you
there.
See this in the design of the floor plans. Like,
absolutely.
It can get really confusing.
There are so many floor plans.
Which one were we looking at? Which one were we talking about? And that's because when you walk in to an RV, you see who they're marketing to.
You can tell by the floor plan. You're
does
right.
it have the recliners? Does it have the fireplace?
Right.
Or does
there
it have
four
the bunk
beds
house?
In the back?
Yeah.
Right. So in terms of a new RV, there are price points. We have seen $5,000 brand new pop-up campers. And of course, everyone knows they're the multi-million dollar Class A motorhomes. Mm-hmm. So just more.
Like if you – what was that show that it was showing the different people buying – RVs.
Big time RV.
Okay, right. So on that show, they would have people coming in with these price points that for us are unimaginable, right? Like the $500,000 price point.
Right.
And no, when we, Jeremy, please, when we watch that show, we're like, we would never spend $500,000 on an RV.
That's true.
Like,
I mean, I look at a $100,000 Class A and I think it's a total luxury.
You know, with the marble and whatever.
The
but
disco
then
lights.
Also, there'll be like somebody who's looking for that little Class B that gets great mileage.
Right. Because they work out of
right.
it.
Right. And they want to, and they want as small and flexible of an option as possible.
Right.
So even on a show like that, you just see that the industry has decided that it's going to cater
to everybody.
Everybody. It's not going to pick
A,
and choose.
Class A, Class B, Class C, pop-up, travel trailer,
it's
hybrid.
It's not going to ask you to be flexible.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the industry is really catering to all these niche groups out there. Now, there's something to be said about that. I mean, there's maybe some concerns about quality. If they're making 100 different types of RV,
right.
It's not like the car companies that are really fine-tuning specific models. So, I mean, we'll see how that works. Because like you said, there are so many floor plans out there. Okay, so that's number one, more of everything. If you said that RVs are getting lighter, you're correct. If you said they're getting heavier, you are correct.
Right.
All right, so the second one, okay, the second aspect of the future that we're looking into here, the future is going to look a lot like the past. We think the retro movement is going to go mainstream, and we've talked about this before, and we're definitely going to talk about it again.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think there's such a strong attraction to the retro models? And we saw this even with the number of people that entered our Camp Casual contest this week. Everyone wanted those retro travel trailers on the dishes.
Well, you know, I mean, design is always a certain amount of decades back, right? Design is always looking backwards, okay? And then doing a little bit of a tweak on it, okay? And a little bit of an update. If you're looking at clothes, houses, it's always like that. And, you know, I've heard rules about like three generations, right? Your parents' generation is uncool. Your grandparents' generation is uncool. But like your great-grandparents, like...
Right. They had it down.
Yeah, like that becomes a little bit more hip or cool. You know, so I don't know if that applies to this too. But, you know,
but
it all comes
the
around
industry's
again.
Throwing back to these units from the 50s and 60s.
They are. So anyway, that has definitely happened in the RV industry. Of course, it always takes a little longer, I think, in the RV industry.
The RV industry seems like a little slow on trend. They're not slow in developing great new floor plans and new technology, but I think they're really slow on design.
When we think about it this way. If you go into Target, you can spot like 10 different pillows, like upholstered like pillows for your couch that you love. They'll have like really cute fabrics, colors, they're popping. You're like, oh, I want that. Okay, no matter what taste you have. When we were buying our first camper, you were showing me the upholstery, and I was like horrified.
Well, and every company had the same upholstery.
Oh my gosh. I was like, how can they not have an upholstery?
Sometimes I think there's like this conspiracy where there's really like one guy designing all of the upholsteries and all of the exteriors for the entire industry. And this guy loves swooshes
like,
and swirls.
And he loves like leaf patterns in like weird colors or whatever. And it was just like, I don't understand this. Every just mainstream store I walk into, I see textiles that are attractive to me. I don't have like too fringy of a taste. And yet I can't find.
And the industry, I've heard people from the industry brag about how quickly they can move, how quickly they can change their production lines. I think they do that with floor plans.
So all
but
of a
not
sudden.
With the retro style. And what's,
all
I think
of that, a sudden, it's out there now.
But it has to be said, though, there are not really that many retro units out there.
No.
But the ones that are out there are just getting huge buzz.
Because there's not that many out there.
Yeah.
So
the future's going to have more.
Yeah. When you look at those, it's very attractive, especially to someone in our generation. You know, we're like, ooh, that's our style. We are more streamlined, clean lines.
I think we're also envious of our grandparents, like the better production qualities design from America in the 50s and 60s. We don't want everything to be lightweight and plastic. We want to see some real materials.
Yeah, more handcrafted.
Now, the thing that really, over the last few months, has made me realize like the power of this desire in consumers for retro RVs is this little little tiny Shasta Air Flight review video on YouTube. Now, the CEO of Shasta did like this, I don't know, 10 to 20 minute sort of walk around and tour of their reissued Air Flight travel trailer. Now, that video on YouTube, which is just a simple little video that somebody filmed with a handheld camera, has been viewed 105,000 times. Okay, so yeah. RV marketing executives, are you listening? Okay, because if you look at any other YouTube video of a new model, there would be 1,000 or 2,000, maybe 5,000 people have looked at it. 105,000 times people have watched that little video for that Shasta Air Flight.
Well, and then we got a little taste.
Yes, of the passion out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it was for the Camp Casual dish set.
The contest this week.
On Facebook, people were entering and they had a comment, and it was really funny. One of the comments just like stood out to us because somebody had tagged like
three other friends. It's a group of four people.
And they said, well, we already have a set for our Shasta trailer.
Our Shasta Air Flight.
Wait, you need... These three people.
And they tagged the three people.
Need them for yours. And we were like, what?
We're like, there's like this little mini club or this little mini group
Shasta
out there.
Shasta club? Like, you have friends, like four friends, and you all have Shastas?
So I messaged them and I said, what's up here? Yeah. You know? And she wrote back and said, all four of us have ordered these Shasta Air Flights.
Well, they are not friends.
They met each other on a forum talking about these vintage Shastas. So communities are forming.
Yeah.
Small communities are forming around these retro RVs. I was blown away by that this week. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating. And again, the industry needs to pay attention.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all very connected to our taste, right? It's important to us. When people walk into our homes, we want it to reflect a certain amount of taste. And I have to say that that's tricky with an RV because... Like, I wouldn't say that our RV on the inside, like, reflects my design.
No, it's comfortable and it's practical.
Yeah. So, you know, for a lot of people to finally find an RV that does reflect more of
people
their design
sensibility. People get, like, really passionate about it.
Yeah. Like, I would love one of the Winnebagos.
Well, the biggest story, possibly, the biggest story in the RV world in the last year was the re-release of the retro Winnebago Braves and Tributes. That was an international story. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, like, even if they don't, you know, sell that many or make a huge profit, it's like it was like a marketing campaign almost, building these and releasing them. Winnebago just got international press for that Winnebago Brave.
Oh, and I was totally sucked in. I mean, just by the look of it. It was very much like...
Particularly the exterior styling.
But I mean, just the fact that they were trying to apply... You know, more of the clean lines, the different textiles, everything on the inside of the RV. It was like, look at this. It's updated, but it's stylish.
I had a month there, like, where I was really having, like, a passionate affair with these Winnebagos. I went and looked at a couple. I was, like, thinking, like, how can we buy one of these?
I ignored you the whole time about
it. Yeah, I mean, it just gets you excited to head out and go RVing and go camping. So, you know, the Air Flights have been a big story. The Winnebago Braves and Tributes have been a bigger story. And Airstream continues to be a huge story right now. Okay, Airstream's never gone away. These are not throwbacks, but they're in that retro vintage style, and Airstream cannot make their product quick enough to keep up with demand. Okay, I read an article online that said there's a 3-month backlog. So if you want to order a new Airstream right now, depending on the model, you might have to wait 3 months to get it. That's also incredibly telling, right?
Well, so this would be a good time to do it because then you'll have your Airstream for the spring, I guess.
Exactly. So should we move on to our next trend?
Okay. What is it?
Okay. So look, we know in the future of RVing, there are going to be gadgets galore and just...
There are right now. And it's
going to be more exponential.
There's something
more
new
more
that you could get every single day.
And I think Stephanie and I have to confess that, I mean, we both love gadgets, but with three little kids in the RV, we're not spending a whole lot of money on gadgets and gizmos now.
No.
So we decided to turn to Mike Wendlin, who's the host of the Road Trekking podcast, and he's also the founder of the Road Trekking blog. He also does a blog called PC Mike, and he's a rock star in the world of RV journalism. And we decided to ask him for a couple future trends in gadgets and gizmos.
Because he is very tech-oriented.
He's tech. Mm-hmm. You know, he's into the road tracks. He's into the Class Bs. And he also just reviews a lot of great new products. I mean, I've bought some of the things
he's
reviewed.
Our podcasting equipment is like the Atari version of his, right?
Like- oh, totally. And I think, you know, before we go any further, I should probably... like kind of confess, I have like a little bit of a man crush on Mike Wendland. Like this guy,
I'm sorry. Oh,
this guy's phenomenal.
It's confessions time.
But he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's got like 5 blogs and 3 websites.
This is obviously what he loves to do.
Well, yeah. And every time like he releases his podcast, there's like a million listeners to each episode. He's like crashed the iTunes website.
Well, he's a journalist.
He spent his whole career in journalism,
right.
Print and
then
television.
He found, it's interesting because like you really get the sense that he found RVing like later on in life. It was like, oh, I love to
dove in, and he was able
to combine those two passions, which is just always a really nice and inspiring thing to watch. Someone that's so good at something, and he is good at journalism.
Oh my gosh,
he's
a good writer, a good photographer, hosts the podcast. I mean, honestly, he's the Energizer Bunny. I know, he makes the Energizer Bunny look like a couch potato, basically.
Wow.
So Mike gave us kind of like two little tips for some future trends. And I'm just going to read the first one. The big one, I think, will be lithium-ion batteries as a power source. I'm testing such a system right now. It provides extended periods of boondocking capability, something that is also growing very much in popularity among many. And he did a recent post on lithium-ion batteries, which we will put a link to in our show notes so you can check out a more detailed post on it. Now, what's interesting here to me, Steph, is that these lithium-ion batteries, though a major advance in technology, are going to let people kind of get further and further out into nature.
Well, we feel that way too, I think, on a very simple level. We do feel that it's easier for us to travel more because we don't have to totally turn off. We can turn off a little, maybe do a little less, but like getting ready to go on vacation, I don't have to do what we used to have to do with my parents. Like when we would go on a family vacation where you make sure all your bills are paid and everything's done and blah, 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 blah. Like you can just kind of be like, oh, I can pay that bill on the road, right? Like I can log onto my computer and do that and take care of that. And it does free you in a way to go farther and worry less.
When I say go farther, these lithium-ion batteries, you can boondock further and further out into the wild and be powered up.
So you can – that just takes that to another level where you can go out into the wilderness without – having to actually create a life for yourself where you can be completely cut off. You know that you can still touch base with so-and-so for work or whatever if you have to. And that's always a tricky proposition. Of course, we hear a lot of news about like what that does to us, never completely turning off. But to be honest, it makes travel easier for me at this stage of our lives.
And I think it kind of echoes back to the irony of that Anna Page piece we read at the beginning, where advances in technology could actually help us or motivate us to want to get further and further out into nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mike's second tip or his second trend he sees developing are the use of dash cams by RVers. And again, he wrote a post about that. We'll put a link up to his post in the show notes. And at first I saw this and I was like, dash cams? Like, I didn't even really know what he was talking about. But they're fascinating. They're video cameras that you mount on the dash or on the windshield of the car, and they will just tape your entire road trip if you want. Mm-hmm. And Mike gives 3 big reasons why these are used, and a couple of them are kind of surprising. The first one is protection in case of an accident. So God forbid you do get into an accident, you could have it videotaped. You know, if somebody lies about what happened or somebody wants to commit insurance fraud. And he said they're huge in Russia because there's such insurance fraud over there that everyone has these dash cams. Okay. And by the way, he said they cost about $100 to $200 for a good one.
Which is the same cost as a GPS, basically. It's like there's no difference.
Yeah. And then the second one, obviously, is documenting trips. Now, you know, Mike over at the Road Tracking blog does lots of video. I mean, he's huge on YouTube, too. He does a lot of great travel videos. So, I mean, if you're driving along Big Sur and you've got the dash cam installed, you could have some awesome, awesome road trip video.
And that's nice, too, when you make those little vines, like, in the videos and everything that are just little clips of where you're going. As opposed to, of course, the nice part is you can be looking out the window and enjoying the scenery. You're not looking at the scenery through a lens, like you are if you're trying to take a picture or trying to take video. You're looking at the lens instead of out at the beautiful mountains. Well, if you get the dash cam worrying about taking the video, that kind of frees you.
And you don't have to worry. And you're really freed because these turn on when you start the car. You don't really need to be fiddling them. And if it runs out of...
That'd be interesting to know how hard it would be to like find then what you would want, like material in there.
Fast forward through it. And if it runs out of space, it just restarts.
But one of the things I was thinking about this is that it might be more attractive to me than a GoPro because people love their GoPros.
Right.
But
we want
to be honest, yeah, kind of. But to be honest, it's not a big thing for me because I feel like when people are using them,
it's work.
It's like so much work. Like people are so tied down to them. Like, and you've got the stick, and everybody's always sticking the stick up in the air and in your face. And I'm like, I don't know. More than you snapping
the dash cam does the work for you.
Yes. Like, I don't know. The GoPro tends to. To feel like the focus.
I'm just all of a sudden now I'm getting excited about more excited about dash cams. Like, why not? I'm sure they could probably be installed.
Well, people, I guess we're going to have a dash cam soon.
But you could possibly install it on a bike too, depending on your power source. If you're going on some gorgeous mountain biking ride, or you just use your GoPro in that case.
Right.
He also says that you could capture unexpected moments with them when you're traveling. And I think he cited like somebody capturing a meteor shower on tape with this dash cam.
Remember when we were in Shenandoah and the bears came across the road
while we were driving. If we had the dash cam on, that would have been awesome to have.
Because by the time like the mommy bear and the cub came walking across the road, and by the time we got the camera, like the mother bear was like, peace out, and she was gone into the woods, and the cub was just like sitting there at the edge still, and we got a picture of like a blurry picture of the cub.
Great point.
That was a really cool moment. We could have
had
been
awesome
on
a dash cam. Yeah. And for $100 to $200, it seems like a reasonably priced gadget. So listen, thanks so much, Mike, for sharing that with us. Should we move on to our next?
So what's number four?
Number four in the future of RVing. And this, again, this is something I got directly from someone on RV.net from North Dakota. It's what he called the Golden Girls effect in RV manufacture and design. And what he meant by that is that there's a lot of sort of non-traditional groups of people traveling. So he's saying in the future you're going to see a lot more unmarried people, people who are not in romantic relationships, people who are just friends or business partners traveling together. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that this guy from North Dakota said this because about 3 days before I had seen a floor plan by Keystone that had two master bedrooms and a travel trailer. And I thought, oh, that's odd. I've never seen that before.
You thought, oh, that's for the snoring husband.
I instantly thought, I don't want to let Stephanie see this. She'll boot me to another bedroom. But it was a really nicely designed travel trailer, and it had one room with a king-sized bed and one room with a queen-sized bed. Uh-huh. It was probably like a 38 or 40-foot travel trailer. And honestly, there's no reason why that couldn't even have two bathrooms.
Right.
So we do think that that's a future trend, that you're going to see friends traveling together, retirees who are friends traveling together, maybe business partners.
Right.
And it actually reminded me of another one of those episodes of Big Time RV. Do you remember those two guys?
Right, the guys who they traveled around the country fixing pizza ovens. Like,
yes.
They were the only two people or something that, like
these specialty pizza ovens.
Like,
they were in a Class A RV together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched that show, I was thinking, well, who gets the master bedroom?
The master
who's sleeping
bedroom
on the couch?
Right.
With this new floor plan from Keystone anyway, they could both be having their own bedrooms.
Yeah.
And also we wanted to add, we don't think it's just the Golden Girls effect or, two retired women traveling together or two widows traveling together, but all different types of non-traditional groupings of people traveling together.
And this ties back into number one with an RV for everyone, basically, for every price point, for every person out there. I feel like the industry has really embraced the fact that there are so many niche markets out there right now for RV. Like, a couple of generations ago, or even one, really, I would think, even in the 80s or whatever,
20 years ago,
I think you would say there were two main groups that you're making RVs for: the retirees and the families, right?
Yeah,
I mean, am I missing out on anybody?
No, honestly, that's been the bread and butter of the RV industry.
Yeah.
And really, you could subdivide it and say that motorhomes were largely meant for retirees and travel trailers were more for families.
Yeah, pop-ups and travel trailers for the families.
Right, but there's so much more out there.
Right, so that was the industry then. And now, it's like the industry recognizes, okay, our campers are being used in so many different ways.
And it's almost like they're designing models and throwing them out there and
seeing
what sticks.
Right. Because you see all of the residentials out there now when you go to the RV shows, right?
Right.
And the seasonal sites at the campgrounds that we go to.
Those are really nice units.
So people buy them and park them. Then there's the whole full-timing movement.
Right. Right. And I think we'll come back after a break and dive into the full-time family movement. Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a break. Hang on. In 1 second, we'll be back with more from the future of RVing. Before we head back into our featured topic, the future of RVing, we thought it might be wise to check in with somebody who actually works in the RV industry and see what they think. So we reached out to Ashley Lehman, the Director of Marketing at Jayco, to see what she had to say. And this is what she wrote. We've seen considerable comeback after the recession, and we don't foresee it stalling in the near future. Based on projections, the RV industry will see continued steady growth over the next few years. At Jayco, we'll continue to be innovative and offer our customers quality products to provide them with generations of family fun. So a lot of confidence coming from Jayco and from Ashley, and I think from the entire RV industry.
Yeah, I mean, all of, you know, everything that comes out from them, all of their research seems to point to growth. So I think they have every reason to feel confident.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ashley, thank you so much for chiming in and sharing your thoughts on the future of RVing. We'll be back in a second to finish our feature topic. So the next future trend that we see is the continued rise of the full-time family. Now, somebody once asked me if they thought that like the full-time families were a fringe or something that's going to be mainstream. And frankly, I don't think it's either. I think that it's a movement, and I don't think it's fringy, and I don't think it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. But I think it's large enough that you definitely would call it a movement, and it seems to be growing.
Right. And I think that it's also a very timely movement. It fits in a lot of different ways to our sort of the current culture in America. There's always that, you know, sort of simplification thing
going on. The desire for simpler living.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the full-time movement,
mm-hmm.
is actually kind of strip back down to the basics.
Right. People looking around and saying, wait a minute, right? As houses have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger.
And more expensive.
More expensive. And the cars get more expensive and the commutes get longer, right? Like as some of our lives get more and more difficult
stuff.
To manage with more stuff shoved into it, there's always, I mean, I've known all my life people that said, stop,
right.
You know, we need to opt out of this. This
right.
is uncomfortable for us.
Or people just aren't happy with
right.
all of it.
We thought that this would make us happy and it didn't. So we want to pare it down and we want to strip it down.
But now in recent years, those people are turning to living on the road in RVs.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Now there's RVs that are very comfortable. Much more comfortable,
and I think. Some of the fifth wheels are
yes,
like homes.
You walk into the fifth wheels and they feel like a small home.
The RV industry uses the term residential. They throw
mm-hmm.
that term around too much, but we have seen some fifth wheels that are residential.
It feels that way. Yeah, absolutely. So the RVs have gotten, I think, much more conducive to making that transition between living in a house and living sort
absolutely.
Of in
yeah.
an RV. Now, also, you know, on top of that, I feel like jobs are available more in a digital age
right.
that
mobile.
Enable a lot of people to do this. And from we are exposed to a lot of full-time families on social media, like on
particularly
Instagram.
Like through Instagram. Stephanie and I were just talking this week. We
yeah.
follow so many full-time families on Instagram. A
yeah.
lot of them are Airstreamers.
And I think things pop up in like captions on photos and everything that show you how many of them work. What do you call that when you don't work in an office? Like they work remotely.
They work
you know?
Remotely. I think that honestly, almost all of them, one or two of the mm-hmm. parents are working remotely. They
right.
have some kind of job, either programming or coding or an online business.
Yeah. And in this world with technology, that's just more common that there are jobs
right.
out there that you can get that you can do remotely.
Right.
So
I
think
worry
that
those jobs could get shipped overseas in 10,
yeah.
20 years, even more so. And I hope that doesn't
right.
happen.
But so I think that that's part of that moment that enables that to be more comfortable. And then also on top of that, I feel like there's a third thing that makes it more comfortable, and that's social media. It helps you not feel isolated, right? It gives you that sense of community, even if you are moving around or you're removed from some of the more traditional forms of community that we might think of.
And it just gives people easy ways to meet up and meet other families on the road.
Absolutely. You're not like, you know, I don't know anybody in this area. You see all the time on social media, the full-time families will have like meetups at different places. Yeah. Or they have, I feel like sometimes sort of paths that they kind of travel throughout the year or whatever and end up in the same spot.
I think
spots.
Some of their traveling routes are based around meeting up with each other. And also there's a lot of sharing of the online resources for the homeschooling and the road schooling and the unschooling and all of those different things. So I definitely see that continuing to be a really serious movement. And I think even if the economy continues to improve, that movement will still get bigger because of the desire for the simpler living and maybe a more adventurous life.
All of the sort of impetus for that is not rooted in the economy. There's also all of those other reasons.
I think some of the roots for the full-time movement might have kind of grown out of the recession, but I think it's going to move past that and really have nothing to do with that, and it's just going to be a lifestyle people want, you know, regardless of whether the economy is strong
or not. So, I mean, it's something that in the future we think will stay sort of a real trend, right, in RVing. We don't think it's
going
to go away.
I don't think it's going away. I think it's going to continue growing. Okay, so the next thing that we see in the future are more and more deluxe sites.
Yeah.
Okay, when we say deluxe sites, we mean sites with grills, with swings.
The patios.
The fire pits. Now, this RV park we saw outside of Great Smoky Mountains National Park, I think it's called the Anchor Down RV Resort. Mm-hmm. They have these gorgeous outdoor fireplaces at sites.
And this is very new, and I don't think it's faddy, as in a fad.
The term glamping itself, I think, may be diminishing and going away.
That, I think,
but the actual substance of what that means is not going away.
Exactly. That word came out quickly. Like, it was like, what are we going to call this?
Right.
People are getting all fancy about their camping.
Right.
I feel that actually fits more into the retro movement. Because you know how, like, when we look at our grandparents and how they were, like, dressed up for picnics?
They were living it large.
Everything was very fancy for them, right? Things were more formal. And we joke, you know, we're like, oh, we're in our yoga pants, you know.
Right.
But our grandmothers were in their, like, dresses for a regular day. So I think that the glamping, that thing is more just part of people's desires to kind of be a little more formal.
Living it up outside.
And I think that the deluxe sites are something a little different. I think that is more of a response to what I've talked about in other episodes of, like I said last week, I called it the poor man's resort. And you didn't like that too much.
And I was not happy with that.
But I'm saying that people want the resort kind of vacation without the resort price tag.
Right.
And I think the deluxe sites feel that way.
You know, if I were to kind of put out some numbers, I'd say, you know, if you went to a nice family-owned private campground and a regular site was $60, you know, these deluxe sites might be $80 to $90. They're maybe $20 to $30 more at the most,
I guess. There's pros and cons to this because we've gotten these sites at some places in a place that maybe we were staying for 4 or 5 nights. And we've been so thrilled that we did.
Well, the Lincoln Woodstock KOA, that deluxe site was awesome.
It was awesome.
It had an awesome fire pit and seating for
everyone. The grill. I love having
grill. They did the deluxe site right, and we had no problem spending that extra money.
But then what has happened to us a couple times, because these deluxe sites are taking
getting
space
popular. Yeah.
We've
at a campground. Stayed in places where they called them deluxe sites.
Yeah, and it was like this. There is nothing deluxe about
this there
site.
Was like a paver patio.
And then on top of that, sometimes when we've had to do a stay over one night at a place we didn't expect to, we've called and been like, do you have any space?
And the only one they have is that $90 deluxe
and
site.
And there is nothing worse than thinking we are going to pull in at 8 o'clock at night, not even unhitch. And we are going to pull out at 7 o'clock the next morning, and we are going to pay like a premium.
So I think the campground industry. I think the campground industry walks a tightrope here because I think they're going to want to add more and more of these deluxe sites, but then there's going to constantly be that tension. Of like the backlash.
Right.
We're like, we just want basic
we're like
camping.
The real RVers, right? Like,
yeah, so they're going to have to find that balance. You know, it's probably maybe like 20% of the sites at most. I think could go this deluxe route, but we've enjoyed them. We like them, mm-hmm. and we think it is definitely a trend that's here to stay.
And it just
the
depends
future.
On the campground too. There's some campgrounds where the regular sites, like, we'd be just as happy to stay in Westchester's, like, right. that. We're just as happy to stay in those other sites as yeah. some of their deluxe
oh,
sites.
Oh, and we're not going to do a deluxe site every time. No way. But it's a nice treat sometimes, yeah. you know. Also, you got to realize people are pulling in with these million-dollar Class A motorhomes. You know, paying an extra $20 a night for a fancy site mm-hmm. is not a big deal.
Right.
So the sites are going to kind of more match these expensive RVs that are out there. Then, of course, there'll be that backlash, I think, too, where people want just the simplicity of the state park. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the next thing that we really see happening in the future, actually, this one's kind of controversial. I got into a little minor controversy on RV.net over this one, which is not hard to do if you go on RV.net. So I asked the question, like, what do you guys see in terms of the future of RVing? I legitimately was hoping to get some ideas, and I did. And I said, for example,
like, you were giving some examples.
I gave an example of something I was thinking
about,
and it wasn't the most profound example, but I said, I think there's going to be more year-round camping mm-hmm. in the Northeast, because I feel like I'm seeing more and more campgrounds stay open year-round in cold areas. And also, we're seeing camper RVs get better and better in mm-hmm. terms of being a little bit more insulated and have really good heating systems. Right. And we want to camp in the winter months.
Yeah, and that's been something. It's funny. We've been talking about that for years now. No, like, as the boys get a little older, we've been talking about how we do want to push to four
seasons. Yeah,
there's
been multiple weekends over mm-hmm. the month of December where we're like, we could easily be out there camping.
And one thing,
and of course, we mean boondocking. Right. We know that the water, everyone started kind of yelling at me on RV.net. Well,
so
the pipes will freeze.
So
and I had
cranky.
To jump in and say, you know, I know the pipe. I'm not talking about, you know, plugging into water.
Yeah.
I'm talking about boondocking. And Mike Wendland, for goodness sake, over there at the Road Trekking Podcast, he does a winter rally in the UP. Okay, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, when there's like 2 feet of snow on the ground, okay, and he does a rally. He doesn't just go by himself. Other people meet him there. And we know there are campgrounds open, a couple in Pennsylvania and New Jersey year-round.
Well, because they're near some of them are near ski resorts. So eventually, like with the boys, as they get a little older, I'd love to go and to park RV in one of those campgrounds.
Or just go skiing or tubing.
Yeah.
And Joe and Ashley, our camping buddies, camped last winter.
Right.
There was snow on the ground. They said they were fine in their travel trailer mm-hmm. with
the
heat
on.
And they woke up
fine.
And went tubing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I guess, thought this was kind of ridiculous that I was suggesting more year-round camping on RV.net. And people were saying things like, well, why would anyone camp in the Northeast in the winter when you can go to Florida or Arizona?
Right.
And I didn't respond, but I was thinking like, well, I can't go to Florida or Arizona in the winter.
Okay.
I'm not retired.
But that tunes in to everything else we're saying is that the RV market has changed. It's not just about the retiree and the family 2 week vacation or the cross country vacation or whatever. It is about an RV that helps a family
have an active lifestyle
and really like achieve their like traveling dream. Like whatever that individual family sees as that perfect balance between work and travel, your RV can help you capture that, right? So if that means going for the weekend in the winter to somewhere and skiing, then the RV better be able to do it because that's
our generation.
And
I'm telling you, the new RVs can. And I laughed so hard because last night I went on to Keystone's website to double check that floor plan again that had the two master bedrooms. And please, everyone, go to the Keystone website here. The front picture on the Keystone website is of a young family with their huge fifth wheel behind them in a snowy, mountainous setting.
Yeah.
And they have just built a snowman.
Right.
So, I mean, I would think that Keystone has their marketing research down and they kind of know what the trends are. And they are clearly communicating to people, you can take our fifth wheels out in the snow.
Yeah.
And even like all over the internet, you're seeing articles about winter camping, right? You just saw another one today on Good Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is, I think this is a real trend. And I think there's money to be made for campgrounds that are willing to stay open either later into the season mm-hmm. or straight through the season.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing we see in the future, and this is the most important thing to me on this list, and it's kind of close to my heart, is I really see, and Stephanie agrees, we see a rebirth of interest in our national parks, and we also see the updating of our national park campgrounds for more modern RVs. Now, the reason we see a rebirth of interest in the national parks is not because we have a crystal ball, but because the National Park Service is doing a huge 2-year advertising campaign leading up to their centennial in 2016. Mm. They've hired a very fashionable New York marketing firm called Gray, and they want to basically do a full-on, like, go RVing style advertising campaign for our national parks. We think this is going to hit huge, and it is going to serve its purpose, and it's going to reintroduce the parks to a younger generation.
Yeah, I mean, this summer, I guess Good Morning America proclaimed that Acadia was, like, you know, one of the top places to visit in America. Well, Acadia was slammed. So when you can directly see, I mean, a lot of people attribute it to that. When you can directly see kind of how press can impact people's...
Well, I think for our generation particularly, like, things don't exist unless they're being advertised to us, you know, and I don't say that necessarily as a compliment to our generation, but, you know, there has to be marketing behind these things. So I have a little clip here of an article from the National Park Service website that kind of describes what they're up to with this big advertising campaign. Stephanie, do you mind if I just...
Go ahead.
If I read it?
Oh, the sentimentalist.
So it says, the title is Celebrating 100 Years of Service. The centennial will celebrate the achievements of the past 100 years, but it is also really about the future. It's about kicking off a second century of stewardship for America's national parks and for communities across the nation. Most importantly, it's about inviting you to join us. The National Park Service and the National Park Foundation are working closely with partners and stakeholders across the country to ensure that the centennial is more than a birthday. We want every American to embrace the opportunities to explore, learn, be inspired, or to simply have fun in their 401 national parks. And they suggest that you follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm excited for this campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. And I hope that they really look at how they can make their parks very friendly to maybe people outside of just stopping at those, like, standard places within a park, which is sometimes I feel like most of the attention right now in national
Acadia,
parks.
That's so true.
I feel like in Shenandoah it's a little bit like that. Like, it's just very much like people will come through,
go to that
they
one
will
spot.
Stop at these places, and then when you try to get off the beaten path a little bit, there you can. You can kind of be like, well, where do I go? Where are the trails?
Right.
Where are the, you know?
Well, so, that's an issue of marketing and advertising, yeah, like, what the parks have to offer.
Like, I feel like they take their Junior Ranger program a little too seriously. You know, I've talked about that in our blog a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, so that.
Oh, because, yeah, like, they what happened?
Yeah,
at the,
like, whether the boys filled in their booklet
or
like
not. They weren't going to give the boys their badge because you helped them finish the book that they couldn't finish.
Yeah, they were four. And really, for us, we were trying to make that impression on them, like visiting the park
national parks
and
are
getting
fun.
Your badge. And here
and
the
ranger was
like,
well, I don't know if I can give you the badge because
no,
they didn't
they
finish this.
They were supposed to write in the name of the sea turtle. And
right,
I'm so, like, they're four.
Right. Right.
So they need to get, I feel like they need to get a little more
user
friendly, more fun, you know, as opposed to so serious.
And of course, some people will resent that probably.
No,
but
the average American gets intimidated by the very, like, dictatorial, like, this is how you behave in a national park and this is what's important in a national park. The average American needs to experience really the joy.
And I'm sure that's what this advertising campaign is going for. And I think they're titling it Find Your Park. So they're kind of wanting to motivate everybody to say, like, okay, what parks are in your area? What parks do you want to travel to? Yeah. So we really see that there's going to just be, you know, a great century ahead of us with our national parks. And we really do hope they also modernize those campgrounds that really that they don't have 30 amp or 50 amp service. And they're really not made for today's 30 to 40 foot RVs. Like, we only have a 33 foot RV. We can't fit.
There'll always be backlash against something like that. Like, people like, oh no, you should do the more rustic camping, everything. But the bottom line is that a lot of people aren't traveling that way anymore or aren't camping that way anymore. There is a huge groundswell of RVers out there visiting national parks. So.
But I agree with you 100% about that. But also just a lot of these campgrounds, the sites are not big enough for today's RVs. And a lot of them still sell out because people are there with their pop-up campers and their smaller units. But, you know, eventually 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, everyone's going to be in bigger RVs. That's just the direction it's going in. So that's the future of RVing as we see it. Okay. If any of you see a future trend developing or you look into your crystal ball and you see something much different.
Yeah, we'd love to hear
it. We would honestly and truly love to hear what you say.
You can email us.
Email us.
At rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com.
Drop us a note on Facebook. If anyone writes in, we'll share your thoughts on next week's show. Yeah. And we see a great future ahead for RV.
And then I guess maybe we'll, on our last show of 2015, maybe we'll look back and talk about whether we were wrong or not.
No, we won't do that. Well, it's going to take 10. We looked way into the future.
Oh, it'll be years from now.
We were looking 40 to 50 years into
the
future.
Nobody will remember this podcast by the time.
No, when we're camping at some sweet private campground in the middle of the winter, we'll do a show and tell everybody on RV.net just how wrong they were.
Honestly,
thank you to everyone who did drop me a note on RV.net. We got a lot of great ideas. We'll be back in a second. Before we go any further, we really need to thank Joe Zotac, who did the cover art for this week's podcast. I called him up with kind of a crazy idea and asked him if he would do a drawing for us in crayon, and he was game. And he did.
Of course he was.
Of course he was, because he's game for everything, and he knocked it out of the park.
They travel with us.
Yeah, it's true. But he knocked it out of the park. I love the drawing. You can obviously check it out on our website, check it out on Facebook, and hey, share it on Facebook, people. Let's get this drawing that Joe did bouncing around the internet. It's really fun.
Obviously, we didn't feel like we had a good picture
for the future of our being. Yeah, our photos were all a little fuzzy. So Joe did an awesome drawing for us, and he's actually maybe working on another one for a future episode. And I'm so excited to see it.
We'll see how many we can get out of
it. So thank you so much, Joe. We can't wait to go camping with you guys again this spring.
And then we were thinking about our future, right?
At least for 2015. So where are we going to be camping this year?
Right. So what's in our future? Well, nothing. Well, not a lot is really nailed down.
I have been badgering you, though, for weeks.
You always do.
About
you
our camping
You always
plans.
Do. Anybody that's been reading our blog for years.
The good sites are going like hotcakes.
Yeah, like hotcakes. Anybody that's reading our blog for years knows that Jeremy starts harassing me in December.
And
at the time when the holidays are on and you're like thinking about a million different
things. Yeah, Stephanie's like trying to do Christmas shopping. I'm like, no, we need to plan our trips.
And here comes the trips.
But anybody that's been RVing for years knows that if you book early, you do get the best sites. Sites are filling up.
And both can be true. So yes, you are harassing me. And
so what's up first this spring? We got a pretty exciting trip coming up in April.
Right. So we're going south as we always like to do.
Get somewhere warmer.
Yes. We like out of Dodge in around April.
Yeah, in April in New Jersey, it's like, get me out of here.
We just get so sad at that point. We need warmth. So we're heading down to Wilmington.
We're probably going to stay at the Wilmington KOA. Mm-hmm. We've never been to Wilmington.
Nope,
we are really super excited. It's going to be early April. We're hoping it's warm enough for swimming in the pool and diving in the ocean.
Enough.
It was in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, Myrtle Beach was awesome.
If there's anybody out there near Wilmington, let us know how warm it's going to be.
Yeah, so let's hear some recommendations too for that area.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of family fun in Wilmington, a lot of history, a children's museum.
Yeah.
So that's going to
be
our spring break trip.
And then we'll do some of our regular, like...
We'll be back at Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
For the spring.
Seashore campsites. We didn't go there last year.
I know.
We got to get
really
back
busy.
There.
Yeah.
And then for our big summer trip. Big summer trip.
Oh, it's so tricky.
So we're heading south again.
I think we are.
And we're going to do some Shenandoah National Park, maybe some Jellystone Luray, some Yogi Bear, or we might end the trip there.
Right. Just as like a nod to the fact that our boys are such good sports, we're going to bring them back to what they think is the best campground ever.
And then really though, we'll stop somewhere in Virginia, and then we're going to head to Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and we are pumped because we want to be part of the celebration as we move towards the centennial of our national parks.
National parks, so we're going to, the Great Smokies is the most visited
national park
absolutely. In the country. So,
which surprises people, by the way.
But it's huge.
Because it's not the most famous national park, but there are a lot of population around it and entry points from two states.
It's very accessible. There's a lot of different reasons for that, but that's where we're going.
That's where we're going. And I'm hoping to spend, 10 to 12 days exploring Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And we want to stay on the North Carolina side and the Tennessee side. And what are we excited to do in Tennessee? What theme park?
Oh, Dollywood.
Is it Dollywood or Dollyland? It's Dollywood.
Dollywood. Dollywood. Dollywood. I'm right.
I think you're right.
I think I'm right, but you're making me nervous.
Dolly, we're sorry if we both. Okay, we know you're listening. We're sorry.
Dolly Parton always listens.
We love your music. We really, truly do.
This NPR quality podcast.
Well, Dolly Parton RVs, you know.
Well,
she's a big RV.
I will RV with her any day. I love Dolly Parton.
In one of those new Golden Girls type units with the two master bedrooms, and then I just get kicked to the curb.
Yeah. So we're gonna do it. Like we'll do it right. We'll definitely.
We're gonna do it right, and we're gonna spend a good amount of time. And what we do when we go south like that, we stop on the way in Virginia near Shenandoah National Park, and then we do it on the way back home as well.
And we'll also check out some of the Blue Ridge, which is another
stunningly
national park.
Beautiful. The Blue Ridge Parkway is a national park.
And so, and we've visited there many times, and we'll visit a little
and we
bit
just
more.
We want to encourage every single one of you to visit your national parks this summer. This summer is not the centennial. The next summer is.
But we're getting
the party started now
with
our national.
We're bringing the future to the now.
Yeah, we're bringing the future to the now when it comes to national parks.
That was awesome.
Okay. And then if we pull off a second big trip, which, see, Stephanie doesn't like to.
I have no idea what
Stephanie
you're
does
say right
not
now.
Like to really talk about a second big summer trip, but we always do
one. We
got to
wrap this up. Let's
we always do a second big summer trip. And if we do, I think we're going to head back
to. The powers of persuasion.
We're going to head back to New England and we're going to hit some of the spots we have not visited because we kind of, in a sense. We have some holes in our New England travels that we want to fill before we start doing some big trips west in 2016,
right.
I hope.
All right.
She's about to pull the cord here on this episode.
You're going too far. Okay,
so tonight, instead of giving you a sneak peek of next week's episode, Stephanie's going to read a little piece that's kind of important to us and close to our hearts. We've officially rebranded. We are no longer the Lively Little Campers in any social
of
media
social
platforms
media
or anywhere.
Yeah. We started out as the Lively Little Campers years ago, and we have slowly, since September when we launched this podcast, been turning things over, like our accounts and everything. And just this week, we officially launched the website, RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. So
it was kind of an emotional moment for us.
I mean, and we had been doing it all fall and talking about it, so it wasn't so big of a deal to us. But it was funny because then once it happened, we were like, "Look, people are a little like, wait."
Hey, wait a second. We like our Lively Little Campers. So look, in some ways, we'll always be the Lively Little Campers.
And guess what? You can still type in livelittlecampers.com, and our website just shows up. So because we just redirected the whole thing. So if you have a sentimental place in your heart for the Lively Little Campers, just keep typing that in. It's
okay.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll do some interviews with the boys on the podcast, and we'll call them like Lively Little
Campers.
Yeah,
somebody
segments.
Commented on that on Facebook this week, and they said, oh, still do your Lively Little segments because we have young kids. And I thought, you know what, that is so much a part of what we do. And of course it will always
nothing's changing about how we travel or anything like that, but why don't you read the short blog post you did. I loved it.
So I just put out a blog post saying, hey, we've changed our name and this is why. So I'm just gonna close by sharing that with you. About 5 years ago, we bought our first RV, a pop-up camper, and decided that traveling and camping with our kids was just about the best thing ever. We also started writing a blog about that experience, mostly to humor ourselves and our close friends and family. There was no Facebook page, no social media at all. It was a minor miracle if you stumbled upon us out there on the World Wide Web. A little over a year ago, we realized that we had a whole lot of content, and there was nothing we loved doing more than RVing and writing about it. So we got a bit serious and actually developed a website, joined in on the whole social media thing, and went out and landed some freelance writing gigs. 2014 was a big, big year for us. We launched our website in January, and by August, we had worked with Jayco RVs, Jellystone Camp Resorts, the AmeriGo RV Club, and Campgrounds of America. Oh, and then in September, we decided we had better start podcasting. RV Family Travel Atlas was born. We were the Lively Little Campers for 4 years, and if you know our boys and have been reading our stories, then you know that is the perfect euphemism to describe the insane amount of energy and enthusiasm our kids have on any given day. But they are not going to be little for long, and you know what? It's not all about them anyway. We want to give all families the inspiration and the know-how to have their own amazing RV adventures. We want to encourage all our readers and listeners to get out and discover this great, big, beautiful country. We want to be your RV Family Travel Atlas. So thank you for reading and thank you for listening. Thank you for emailing and liking and commenting. Thank you for coming back again and again and again and letting us know that what we do is useful. There is no greater compliment to us. Happy New Year from the RV Family Travel Atlas and our own Lively Little Campers. Let's have some great adventures in 2015.
Good night, Lively Little Campers.
Good night.